Amen. We're so glad for everybody that's joined us in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 21. I've preached this material in a way here before under the title Jacob. My name is Jacob. But I feel to preach this tonight. Amen. And so I told my wife I have a scripture and a title and a command from the Lord. Amen. So let's do it. How about that? The Bible says, so went the present over before him, that's Jacob, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them, that's his wives, his women servants, and his sons. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. Okay, Jacob is a great man of substance at this point. This is after years and years in Syria with Laban. He has his wives, his women servants, his children. He has his flocks and herds in abundance. He has already met the company of angels on his way back. And now he hears that Esau is coming with 400 men to meet him. And the last time he saw Esau, he was literally stealing a blessing. And so he doesn't know how this encounter is going to end. The Bible says in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there. Amen. Now, many of you know where the scripture goes, the rest of the scripture goes, but for the sake of the beginning of this message, I asked them to stop the wording right where you see it. And Jacob was left alone. Everybody say, was left alone. He was left alone and there. Everybody say, and there. And there. Okay. With the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach tonight. And Jacob was left alone. Amen. I'm not gonna veil or cloak this. I feel like this is gonna be heavy tonight, but I feel it very strongly in the Holy Ghost. Why don't we lift up our hands all over this house and let's pray that the Holy Ghost would speak to each and every one of us in this house. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I pray, God, that you would hide me behind the cross one more time. God, that you would anoint me to preach your anointed word. Of Jesus. Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. Amen. There's a few things that we need to understand about this passage of scripture first, and I've already covered it. This is when Jacob has literally, he has obtained great things in life. His household is great. There is cattle. There is family. There are servants. There are so many things that Jacob has. But Jacob also has a not so flowery past. Amen. And he has ran. As a matter of fact, the reason he even goes to Paddan Aram, which is where he meets Laban, is because he has stolen, he has supplanted Esau, he has stolen the birthright. Esau sells his birthright over to Jacob, and then in time to come, Isaac is aged, and he is going to give the blessing, and Rebekah devises a scheme. Everybody say, Rebekah devises a scheme. Amen. I don't want you to lose sight of that tonight as we go forward. In that, in the stealing of the blessing, Jacob was not the only one that was at fault. It was Rebekah's idea. Amen. And I'm not just coming down hard on Rebekah and trying to smear her name, but I need you to understand this is Rebekah's idea. She's the one that makes the food for Isaac that Esau was supposed to make. Jacob didn't make the food, okay? Rebecca made the food, and Rebecca put the story together. Rebecca is the one that takes and puts the coats of skins upon Jacob. Rebecca is the driving force behind this deal, and he steals the blessing, and it makes Esau so mad that he's going to kill Jacob. And so then Rebecca hears that Jacob is going to be killed by Esau, and so she sends him away to her kindred in Syria. And so Jacob leaves. He's been gone, I believe it's 21 years, and he's on his way back. And so he has these things in his past. Now, his name means deceiver and supplanter. Amen. Now, in our day today, we just name something that sounds cool and flows off the tongue relatively easy, but that was not the case in these days. They named by purpose, and they called a name based off of the atmosphere and things that were going on. Names were oftentimes prophetic in the Word of God. And so when they labeled this child Jacob, the deceiver, the supplanter, the heel grabber, he lives his entire life living that out. It's labeled on him. And it's just, if I can say it like this, it's all he knows. Amen. God help me to preach this tonight. Amen. Amen. There are people under the sound of my voice, and you have come in and you've obeyed the gospel. You've repented of your sins. You've been baptized in the name of Jesus. You've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But still, there are some things that have been stamped on you since you were just a little child. And something inside of you has never been able to break free of that label. Or this is just how my family was. And this is just how I am. And well, it's just how I always have to be. I am here to rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word would probably be better understood in our modern English as a new creation. Amen. When you received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you were born again. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't care what reputation and what supposed generational curse was stamped on you when you were born naturally. And I don't care what your last name is. When you went down in the watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ, you were born again. And your name is Jesus. Amen. Your name, my name is Darren Motes Jesus. Stamped over everything that had been. And so I'm here to declare to you tonight that I don't care what your past held. I don't care what kind of mistakes you made. I don't care what kind of flaws you had. You found something greater. You found someone more able. You've been made new. Amen. And so the deceiver, the supplanter, lives out his name. He steals his brother's birthright. He steals his brother's blessing. He steals his father-in-law's cattle. Amen. And then, through a dream from the Lord, he finds that it's time to leave. He goes back toward his homeland, the land of Canaan. And then Esau comes to meet him. And in this place of great distress, and it's not a place and time where he can see. There is an enemy out there, a man that is a formidable foe, and he has 400 men with him coming. And if that is not enough to scare the man Jacob, it is nighttime. It is dark. He cannot see around him. So he devises yet another scheme. Let's put together some gifts. Let's split the company. Let's do everything we can to try to avoid this catastrophe that's coming toward us right now. And so he puts it all together, and he's got everything the way that he wants it, and he sends the present over the brook toward the company of Esau, and then he lodges that night in the company. Amen. He's still with his family. He lodges that night in the company. But somewhere in the middle of that night, I don't know what happened to Jacob, but somewhere in the middle of the night, he gets up and he says, I cannot lodge with you here tonight. You have to pass over the brook before me. And he takes his wives, he takes his kids, and he sends them over the brook Jabbok. And the Bible tells us that Jacob was left alone. Amen. He is left alone in the dark, being pressed upon by not just his future enemy, but his past failures. And something, it's like his world is crashing in. There's no way to go forward, and there's no way to go backward. And it's dark, and he can't see around him. And his family's not there to help him. And his money ain't there to help him. He's alone by himself in the dark. He's alone by himself in the dark. And there. Amen. You have to understand that God has a way of chasing you down. He has a way of making it to where you can't turn to the left and you can't turn to the right. You can't go forward. You can't go backward. You can't see how to get out of it. Nobody can help you. No amount of money can get you out of the trouble that you're in. But honey, that's where God wants to get you so that he can show up. I feel my help coming on right now. And Jacob was left alone. And there, the Bible instantly says, there wrestled a man with him. Amen. And we connect. Can you put that scripture up there, the whole scripture? Amen. We connect that there wrestled a man as the there being part of the man wrestling with him. But the fact of the matter is there is descriptive of a place. And that place is him alone in the dark, surrounded by enemies, running from a path. Oh, God, I'm sure the prayer of Jacob that night was none other than that, Lord, if you could just wrap me in your loving arms, please, right now. But in the lowest point of his life, in the most helpless place he'd ever encountered, in the darkest moment of his life, God didn't come hugging him, and God didn't come massaging his shoulders. All of a sudden, in the darkness of that night, he meets a foe much more formidable than his brother Esau. The angel of the Lord descends to where he is and begins to fight, begins to grapple, begins to wrestle with the man Jacob. Amen. Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled. There wrestled. There wrestled. When everything within the human desires peace and comfort and safety. Amen. I'm just here to tell you there are some things that can only be forged and changed in you when God has stripped everything else away from you. And God has stripped everything that you held dear and held near, and everything that you leaned on and everything that you trusted in, and every escape route and every exit hatch and every plan B. God just has a way of boxing you in until you can't get away from it. Oh God. And it's there that the angel of the Lord appears. And if he's ever just wanted a hug,
It's this night and God appears and he begins to fight with him and wrestle with him. I wonder what it felt like as God began to smite the man Jacob and just how violent the force was of that wrestling match that night. As God takes and throws the man Jacob on the rocky ground beside the ford, Jabbok, and all he needs is just peace and comfort. And even his God is throwing him around like a rag doll. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, though. There's something that happens in that moment of wrestling, and Jacob gets a hold of God. It's not just that God gets a hold of Jacob, but Jacob gets a hold of God. Let me tell you, you'll get a hold of God in a way you never thought you could. In the darkest night of your life. Oh God, when you got no money and you got no family and you got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The psalmist wrote about those that go down into deep waters to do business. And he talked about the storm throwing them back and forth. And he uses the phrase, they come to their wits. And literally, when your mortal mind cannot function through anything that's going on anymore, and you feel like giving up with everything inside of you, get a hold of God. Hey man, before I go any further, I want to focus in on this. There's a writing called the Septuagint. Many of you have probably heard of it. It's 70 elders in Alexandria, Egypt, literally took the Hebrew Old Testament and they translated the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek because so many of the Jewish people could not read the ancient Hebrew. And so we have copies of the Old Testament written, translated from the Hebrew into Greek, and so, which is Greek and Aramaic, is what the New Testament was written in as well. And so we have this Greek rendering, and these men, if anybody would have known the context of exactly what was being said, these men would have known. And then they write it in Greek, which is a more modern language, and then we can really pull some feeling from it. And so I looked at the word alone in the Septuagint, and it is the Greek word monos, amen. And this is not just that you are bereft of companionship, but this is literally that you are destitute and forsaken. God, help me to preach this right now. Amen. I know this ain't your average Wednesday night Bible study, but I feel this so strong in the Holy Ghost. There are people in this house, and you've got it looking like it's all together. Amen. You got your tie just right, and your hair just right, and your dress just right, and everything inside of you is crumbling and crashing and crushing, and you don't know how you're going to make it another day. And you've got 100-something people around you, and you've never felt more alone in your life. This is the time for you to get a hold of God. God. Amen. Amen. And when he, the angel, saw that he, the angel, prevailed not against him, Jacob, he, the angel, touched the hollow of his, Jacob's thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he, the angel, wrestled with him, Jacob. And he, the angel of the Lord, said, let me go. God. I'm telling you, I literally feel a spirit of prophecy in this house. And I'm coming for you tonight. Amen. The Holy Ghost sent me with a word. He sent me the one scripture, a title, no notes, and a command to preach exactly what I felt in the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, the Lord is coming for you tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Jacob descends in one night to a place so destitute so bereaved, so forsaken, that even the angel of God said, let go of me. Amen. Oh, God. Oh, God, help us today. Amen. Pastor said it, I believe it was Sunday morning. He said, you need to understand this whole deal. Well, nobody wants me. Nobody. He said, the devil wants you. Amen. But there are times in your life where you'll get to a point that's so dark and it's so confused and it's so chaotic and it's so disconnected. It's so alone. And there's nobody around that can help you. You can talk to them and they don't understand you. And you feel like you're losing your mind. And then to take it even further, God seems to be throwing his jabs at you. And he seems to be throwing you on the ground. And you're just fighting for your life, trying to just keep it together. And then the Lord himself says, let go of me. Hallelujah. But this is where giants are made and legends are born. Oh, God. For Jacob said, I'm not letting go of you. This Greek word, monos, this destitute forsakenness, is the same phrase that Jesus Christ would use in the book of John chapter 16 when he said, all of you are going to be scattered from me and I'll be left alone. He said, but I'm not alone because the Father's with me. Hallelujah. He got up. Why don't we lift up our hands and pray for just a moment? All over this house. All over the house. All over the house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I am not letting go of you until you bless me, until you touch me, until you change me, until you change the situation that I am. God, I am not letting go. Come on, I'm preaching to you tonight. I'm preaching to you tonight. There is miraculous moments in the aloneness. Amen. Brother Aaron, I remember you telling me, you said the worst part of fasting is the loneliness. You said, I don't know why I feel so alone. It's because in aloneness, that's where legends are born. That's where giants of the faith are made. That's where things happen. Instantly in John chapter 16, after Jesus says, all of you are going to leave me and I'm going to be alone, he tells them, he says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. He said, but don't be afraid because I've overcome the world. Brother Blake, I wish I could tell you that the greatest victories of your life will be had with me on one side and Brother Aaron on the other side and 100 people shouting with you. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to do this to its fullest extent, there will be victories that you have to get on your own. There'll be battles you have to win alone. But don't be afraid. God is with you. Come on, to every child of God that feels forsaken and left and destitute, there is power in being alone. Run to God one more time. Amen. Amen. I will not let go of you unless you bless me. God, that's God, help us to get to that place. That's where every single child of God has to get to. When you find yourself in the darkness, you find yourself in the night, you find yourself alone, forsaken by your family Amen. Money can't fix it. You can't go backwards. You can't go forward. Nothing can fix it. God is wrestling with you, but you got to hold a God. And finally you say, I'm not letting go unless you bless me. And then the most important part, I believe, of the entire scripture unfolds. He, the angel of the Lord, said unto him, Jacob, what is thy name? Oh, God, help me. When Jacob goes to Isaac to receive his blessing, Isaac says, who are you? He says, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Isaac begins to feel. He said, it tastes right, smells right, feels right. He can't see. It's four of the senses, the five. The last one is what he hears. And he said, the voice is the voice of Jacob. Because you may be able to fool what people see. And you may be able to fool what they feel. God, God, God. Because sight is external. Feeling is external. Smelling, external. Amen. Tasting. Taste the meat. External. But what they hear is the only thing that issues from internal. And so when all the externals could fool Isaac, he said, what's coming out of you ain't matching up with what you're saying. God help the church. God help the church. Oh, God. Jesus would say, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh out of the abundance. Amen. Your words will tell exactly what's inside of you. Amen. Amen. And so he says, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Isaac, ask again, are you surely, are you really Esau, my firstborn? He said, I am. I am Esau, your firstborn. When he runs after receiving the blessing, lying about being Esau, he meets Rachel at the well. And he says, I'm your father's brother. Why? Because Jacob, the deceiver, the supplanter, is who he is. And he has not yet come to grips with who he is. Amen. If you don't hear anything else I say, hear this. You will never change until you admit who you are. And so every time recorded in the scripture that Jacob is asked about his name, which is his identity, it's not just what do people call you, it's who are you? And he's lied about it over and over and over. Finally, in this wrestling match with God, I find it no coincidence that God has him so squeezed that he can't go anywhere. Houdini has found his impossible trap. And he said, God, you've got to touch me. And God said, well, let's start like this. Who are you? And when he's lied to his dad, and he's lied to his wife, and he's lied to everybody connected to it. Finally, in a moment alone with God in the wrestling match, he turns to God, and in a moment of brutal self-honesty, he says, I am the deceiver. I'm the supplanter. I'm everything they ever said that I was. But God, something has to change tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in the moment where he finally comes to the truth about himself and he expresses the truth of who he is to the truth of the entire universe, God himself, God says, not anymore, son. That may have been who you were. That may have been what you were identified as before. Hallelujah. Maybe this is a Wednesday night Bible study. Amen. But I'm here to help somebody. If you'll get this, this will help you. This will change your entire life. Amen. You may have mama fooled, and you may have daddy fooled, and you may have hubby or wifey fooled, and you may have the church fooled, but you ain't got God fooled. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I'm coming for you right now. Amen. God did not want Jacob to admit who he was so that God could condemn him for who he'd always been. He just had to get to the point where he said, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I've been that. Come on, I don't care. I don't care if daddy was no good and he cheated on mama and he lied and he ran around and did all kinds of mess. I don't care if that's who daddy was. If you come get the Holy Ghost, that's not who you have to be. Amen. I believe there are too many Jacobs that never get their name changed because they never get honest with God about what's really on the inside of them. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 16, pastor just preached this Sunday. I'm going to preach it again because you need to hear it again. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon says, everybody says, Simon says. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon, Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Amen. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Simon, you need a revelation. Oh, Simon, you got a revelation. I say you're Peter. I'm going to tell you who you can be. Amen. What chapter of Matthew is it where he says, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat? Somebody pull it for me real quick and just shout the number. I'm going to keep preaching. Amen. It's after Matthew chapter 16. Amen. Jesus tells Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Luke 22, which would be like the equivalent of like Matthew 24 or 26 in chronological order. Okay. So he says, thou art Peter. There are so many people in this church and in the apostolic church at large that you come in and you have this moment of revelation with God where God shows you who you are and who you can be. Who you are and who you can be. Oh, God help me. And then he comes back and he says, Simon, son, in Matthew chapter 16, you were calling me Peter. I thought I was changed. But he goes after who he's always been. God, you got to get this. This is so important. Jesus tells Peter, the man that had the keys to the kingdom, that would preach the message on the day of Pentecost. He said, the man you've always been, Satan is trying to get a hold of him. Church, if you've ever needed to admit and cast off who you've always been, it is right now. It is right now. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Satan's not trying to come after Peter. He's not trying to come after the calling of who you should be. He's trying to come after the man that you've always been. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm just going to stay and preach this for just a second. Is that all right? Amen. God may intend for you to be the greatest Bible study teacher in this church. He may intend for you to be the greatest preacher in the apostolic ranks. That's all good. That's the pinnacle. You know what? Satan can't touch that unless he gets a hold of the man underneath the mantle. Come on. You've got to understand. You've got to understand that you can't live this double back and forth life where I'm going to put on the anointing and go do the work of God, and then I'm going to walk out and be normal old me that I've always been, and I'll just be who I'm going to be during the week, and I'm going to live a normal life, and then God can use me on Monday night during prayer, and he can use me on Wednesday night during church, and he can use me on Sunday. No, baby, if it's just a mantle you're putting on, Satan will get a hold of the man underneath, and he'll drag you straight to hell. Hallelujah. You have to understand, Jesus did not appeal to what should be. He appealed to what had always been. Simon, Satan is trying to get you. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Get this. And when you are converted, when Simon is made into a new creature, you strengthen your brethren. Let me tell you something. Peter goes. From there, he denies Jesus three times. He denies him three times. Cussing and screaming, I don't know who that is. That's Simon, the man that's always been. The burly, brawny fisherman, screaming and cussing. They said, you're a Galilean. We can tell by the way you talk. Does that sound familiar? We can tell who you are by what's issuing from within. Hallelujah. Pastor, I'm ready to be used. And everybody can tell what's issuing from within. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm telling you, God is reaching for you. And he's dealing with you. Because I'll tell you the truth, God really does want to use you, but he can't use you like you are. Oh, God, because Simon hasn't been converted. He just put on a different set of clothes. Oh, God, help me right now to preach this message to this church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Cussing and screaming, and he realizes, I am such a miserable failure. Where Jesus standing at the judgment seat, Peter cussing and screaming outside the door, denying him. The rooster crows, and Jesus just looks at him like, I told you, you had to be changed. So Peter goes out and he weeps bitterly. Can I say it like this? Can I rephrase that? Simon goes out. I think the Bible says Peter, but I'm just going to say he was definitely in the flesh. Simon goes out and weeps bitterly. Bitterly. And when Jesus rises from the dead and the women see him, he said, tell my disciples and Peter. Oh God. He said, go appeal to what can be. And tell him to meet me. I'm going ahead of them. This is when Jesus finds him. Does he say, if I had known I was going to preach this, I'd have studied it. Brother Aaron, can you pull that text for me? Or sound guys? What was it, Luke 22? Well, no. We're in John. Hang on. This is going to be in John. When he finds him beside the Sea of Galilee, does he call him Simon? And he says, lovest thou me more than these? Does he call him Simon or does he call him Peter? He tells the women, appeal to what could be and get him to meet me. And then he says, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? He appeals to what he still is. Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Let me ask you a question tonight. Brutally self-honest. Don't raise your hand. I don't need a hand. I know you're messed up. Oh, God. I know things ain't right. I know you've not attained everything you feel God has called you to do. But I'm just asking you tonight, do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love God? Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yes, Lord, I love you. God. There are people under the sound of my voice tonight, and you are in a wretched, miserable condition. But I know for a fact that you really love God. You ain't got it all together, but you love God. You ain't got it all refined, but you love God. You've not been changed like you need to be, but you love God. You love God. I understand. You love God. He said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Amen. Somebody come to the piano. I'm almost done preaching. God help us tonight. God help us tonight. I feel such a burden in my spirit for this church. There are people, you want to do great things for God. You want to be used of God in mighty ways. I understand that. I completely understand that. There's, oh God, I understand. Amen. But I would be a liar to stand here and say that I, the one preaching to you tonight, have not had to be crushed in darkness and in aloneness and in forsakenness and destitute and hurting and broken, and the list could go on and on and on. And hear me, it's not some hatefulness in God that does that to people. It's the fact that if you ever, hear me, if you ever reach the pulpit of Pentecost and you've not gotten rid of Simon, I can't help but hear the echo of Romans 8 and 26. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Jesus said, I've prayed for you. The book of Romans said, you don't even know what to pray for like you need to. But if you can reach a place where the Spirit can pray through you, some things will be changed. I want
want to tell you before I say what I'm going to say, and then we're going to pray. I love each and every one of you so, so, so much. So much. But that don't mean you don't have problems. And that don't mean that I don't have problems. I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. And if you say you are, you're proving that you ain't. Amen. But let me encourage you. In the darkest, tightest, most broken, forsaken, destitute place, it was there. Jacob was alone. It was there that the Lord had a moment with him. The culmination of the moment was, can, you hear me, can you be honest about your flaws? Not about the things you do good. Not about your strengths. Can you be honest about your weaknesses? This ain't counseling 101, you know, group therapy. Talk to somebody about your problem. No. I'm talking about a moment with God where you get down into the dirt. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord wrestled with him. I can just see dirt smeared across his sweaty face. Probably got gravel in his mouth. He's a mess. Breathing hard, thankful that he's breathing at all. And when he was that broken, God, why can't you just pat me on the back? Because if I pat you on the back, you'll never change. And so at the finale, he says, what is your name? Who are you? Can you be honest with yourself right now? Well, I tell you, I had a moment with myself in my life. And you know, I just came to the conclusion one day, I was lazy. But you know what? From the day I was like, you know what? I'm kind of lazy. I was like, I ain't going to be lazy no more. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to work. I'm going to make myself work. I don't care what it is. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to work. Work on stuff. And I just started praying, Lord, teach me to love to work. You know what? I don't dread going to work anymore. But you know what? I had to be honest with myself. It's not until you're honest with yourself that things change. I told the story 1,000 times about how jealous I was in dating my wife now. I was so jealous, I was about to break us up. Just being stupid. I'm just being honest with you right now. But you know what? One day I was like, I'm going to pray until this changes. I prayed until it changed. Amen. You know, all the things that have kept you exactly where you're at, and you hate your life and you hate your situations and you hate where you're at. You hate the night, you hate the dark, you hate being alone. You hate being broke. You hate being destitute. You hate being disconnected from your family. You hate being all of these things. The solution is to admit who I am has created this situation. This ain't rocket science. This is just the truth of the Word of God. But if you'll say,
Like the guy, I love it when you tell the story, Dad, of the guy in Guy, Arkansas, when you're preaching and you're just hammering away and he's sitting on the front row. He's like, that's me. And he'd hit something else. That's me. But you know what? That man went home with the Holy Ghost that night. Stand together. That man went home a new creation because he admitted, this is who I am. I don't have to say all the things that you are because you already know. And I don't have to say all the things that I am and have been because I already know. And God really knows. He knows you. He knows me. He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows the number of hair on your head. He knows everything. And I didn't know where this was going to go, but I do now. I don't even have to be a prophet to say this. If you'll be honest with yourself tonight and with God tonight, there will be things change that will never be the same. Ever. Ever. So I'm going to issue an invitation. If you want your life to radically change, this is the honest altar right now. Let's just be honest with God tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, get real with God tonight. Come on, if you're tired of where you are and where you've always been, just get real with God tonight. Come on, if you want to be used of God, get real tonight. Come on, if you want to fulfill the purpose that God has for your life, just get real tonight. Just be honest tonight with God. Come on, if you want it to change, just be honest about why it's the way it is. With the Lord tonight. Come on, get a hold of God tonight. God can fix your family tonight by fixing you. Come on, God can fix your marriage tonight by fixing you. Come on, God can fix your finances tonight by fixing you.